Today's show is sponsored by ZipRecruiter. If you're hiring, ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire, and you can try it for free by visiting ZipRecruiter.com/LASTS. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/LASTS. And it's also sponsored today by Brooklinen. Today's show is thanks to Brooklinen, and you can get $20 off and free shipping by using the code LOVE at Brooklinen.com. How's it going, guys? I'm Jeff.
I'm Alyssa.
And welcome to the podcast where we talk about faith, culture, and answer your questions. Stay tuned. What's up, y'all? Okay, can I just say I am so excited for this podcast. Can you tell me why?
Because Jeff finally got his dream set up in the office.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have to work to set it up.
Yes.
We literally just grab a mic and put it towards our mouth.
Guys, if you follow us on Instagram, I think I posted it about a week ago. But every week, I mean, we've done this podcast now for 4 years, I think. And we took a little, you know, probably a year break or so. But 4 years total, including that break. And I think every single time I would have to set up and tear down the setup of us doing the podcast. How many hours did I waste of my life?
Probably one.
Yeah, you're probably right. Combined,
it really wasn't that much.
Yeah, combined, it was probably maybe an hour or two because it takes like a couple minutes. But all that to say, I no longer have to do that, and this setup is incredible. We love you guys. We hope you're doing good, whether you're driving to work, driving to school, you're at the gym, you're painting, you're being a boss, whatever it is, you're incredible. Yeah, you're slaying. We just want to say welcome. And today we want to chat about a couple things that we'll get into. But first thing that I think I want to chat about is Alyssa's newfound hobby, craft, gift, calling, whatever you want to call it. But I will let you take it from here, and then I want to add some stuff. But tell people what your new gift, calling, craft, hobby is.
Oh, babe. Okay, well, we can talk about it. It goes really well with the last podcast I did with my few of my friends about creativity, and it kind of came out of that. I felt like I was, like 8 months ago, I was just really struggling to create, and I've always kind of had some creative outlet, and I just was really struggling. I didn't know what to try, and if I did try something and I wasn't amazing at it right away, I would get really frustrated. And through that podcast, just talking through it with my friends and getting their insight really was so encouraging for me to just go for it and to be brave. And I love what Sarah had said about finding someone older, like a mentor who does something that you want to learn or grow in, and just asking them, hey, can you teach me how to do that? And I did that, and it was small. It's not like I was like, oh, I want to be a painter.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to paint, and I've always thought it was really cool. But last summer I had seen this really awesome painting in Oahu, and I loved it, but it was way too much money for us to buy. And
oh, it was? I don't remember that part.
And it was, there's this one particular spot in our living room where I wanted to put it because it just was this empty wall. And I was like, I know I want a painting there. And so fast forward a couple months, there's one of my friends here, an older friend who paints, and she's amazing. I was like, well, I could always ask her to paint something and pay her. And then it just hit me like, oh, after what Sarah was talking about, why don't I ask her if she'll teach me how to paint? And so I did two lessons with her to learn just the basics and to get a big painting for this wall. And I loved it. And it was one of those things, I don't know if you've ever had one of those things where you just fall in love with it right away and you can't stop thinking about it. And I would be driving and I would look at all the colors outside and I would see the sunset and just say, oh, I want to paint this. It was just one of those things where I just couldn't get the bug out. But I wanted to make sure it was a long lasting thing before I invested in it. And so, I took another class and up at like a art school in Maui, and then another class with, my friend. And I was just like, you know, I'm just going to go all in. And Jeff was really, really supportive. He was so encouraging with it. And so today I just had the morning by myself, which was amazing to finally do it. And it certainly was not perfect at all. There was so many things that are wrong with it, and even in the middle of it, I struggled in a lot of ways with the color. And at one point, I almost started crying just thinking, "This
today?
Is like, yes." I was like, "This is so hard. I'm not getting it. I wish I had someone to just tell me what to do." But you know, the end result, it's not amazing at all, but I'm really proud of it that I did it by myself and that I know I'm gonna grow, and just my goal is to keep doing it. So that's a really long-winded answer, but I think it's just been a really refreshing thing for me to find something that I really enjoy doing, to let myself learn it and not have to be amazing at it right away, because I feel like mm-hmm. I put that pressure on myself. And what I had shared in the previous podcast, just the pressure of when you're online, you see everyone's amazing, like their, what do you call that? Like their top, like their number one things,
their highlights.
Or you see what they're talented at, or, you know, the amazing things they do, or the businesses that they've made out of their talents. And I just had so much pressure on myself for a good year or two of like, if I do something, I should be able to sell it and it should be a business, or it needs to be amazing. And so having this whole new wave of, no, just start simple, learn, let yourself fail, let yourself mm-hmm. not be really great at it, and just really like take baby steps and ask people for help and study things and let yourself grow into something. I think, you know, when we're in growing up and as kids and then in high school, if you take classes, you're used to learning that and you're still like a kid, and so it's normal. But then I feel like as a parent and an adult, I don't have that much time to create. So when I do create, I put this pressure on myself of, oh, I just want it to be really good because I only have this amount of time. Like, I just want to produce something. And or like, I'm an adult, I should be amazing at this, or I shouldn't. Even the lie that I thought, like, oh, I'm too old, and I'm not old at all, but I'm too old to learn a new craft. And just being free of that, like, we're never too old to learn something. There's so much to learn, and to give ourselves time and a lot of grace. And I think in this age of social media, when a lot of things are fast paced and we get things really fast, you know, on Amazon, or we compare, not in a bad way, but we just see people's gifts, then we can put pressure on ourselves.
Yeah.
And instead of having this freedom that we're made in the image of God, we're meant to create, and a lot of the times it takes a lot of practice. And so anyway, I'm just learning all this and being bold enough to like put it on Instagram, even when it's, there's so many things wrong with it. But it's been really, and it's something that when I do it, I can meet with the Lord, like I'm listening to worship music or I'm praying, or it just is something that kind of calms my heart. And also at the end of the day is like, wow, I did that. That's really cool.
Totally. And guys, by the way, if you follow us on Instagram, even though she's just starting out, she's crushing it. It's amazing. They look incredible. She has a gift for it. She has a knack for it. But yeah, I think the lesson why I'm so stoked for her, and also why she just shared, is it shows that I think everyone listening should try to really think about what they can cultivate so that they can have that opportunity. Too, I think it's worship, and it's fulfilling, and it allows you to flourish, and it's kind of therapeutic, and all these different things. And I think
finding that something that kind of calms your spirit.
Yeah, I don't think it has to be the hard and fast rule that it has to be something. What's the word I'm looking for? Meaning like where it has to be with your hands and like with your body, not just like typing on a computer. Because it doesn't have to be that. Like, you know, if you have a dream to write and you want that to be that, that can be that. But I do think there's something to be said where. Tactile, that was the word I was looking for. But because of the dominant spirit of the age, of you were saying, of just like on our phones, hyper connectivity, everything that we do is like edited and cropped and this, and it's digital. I think to do something with your hands is actually really, whether that's, you know, I know a lot of people where it's like it's gardening. Or it's for you, it's painting. For me, it would be woodworking, like something where it just feels like you're producing or creating something out of the desire and longing of your heart as worship to the Lord. And it's not about the production. It's about the process. And that's a big difference, is I think at the end of the day, the Lord wants to teach us and move us and meet us in the process. He doesn't really care for much what it looks like at the end. I just don't think he does. I don't think that's how he operates. I don't think that's how he moves. I don't think that's how he, you know, tends to relate to us. I think he relates to us in the process and how our heart is in the process, not what it is in the production. And if you even think about, you know, the Old Testament, you know, you got like, in some sense, the idol of production is very much what we worship today in America. We worship this the production, the finish line, what it looks like at the end, the cropped and edited photo, or the, what do you, you know, the, that's why the first person, first thing we ask when we meet people is, what do you do? What do you, like, it's basically, what do you produce? That's our, that's literally what give, that's the first question we ask people to get their identity. And we kind of stamp them with that identity. And so I think there's definitely a production idolatry in our world today. And you can see that going all the way back to Pharaoh, right? Like you, the spirit of Pharaoh versus the spirit of Yahweh was very much a spirit of production, meaning like Pharaoh was a slave master that basically just said, make more bricks. It was all about what Israel and the slaves could produce for him. That was their value. That was their identity. That was their worth. When the Lord brings them out of Egypt, brings them out of this production economy and says, it's not about what you do. It's about who you are and about, or about, you know, who I am. He says, you know, it's about understanding your relationship with me. It's about relationship and intimacy, not production. And I think some type of craft, when it's firing on all cylinders and doing well and being therapeutic, it's because it's more about the process or the relationship that you get to have by, you know, worshiping the Lord with it. And
which is so good. You're even speaking to my heart right now, because I'm like, no, but I want the end result. I want it to be really good. Totally. And I think that's why I've struggled so much, is I don't always love the process. And even in life, I feel like this is a theme. I've been learning that we're all in process. And so to give ourselves grace, to give other people grace, like to let the Lord work in our life, we haven't arrived. Totally. And the Lord is always working in us and changing us and growing us and, you know, sanctifying us, purifying us. And so I think what you're saying, babe, is so, so good. And it even spoke to my heart, like in life, there's a lot of things I could be like, oh, that totally hit a spot right there, or as a mom, or in different areas. And even in creating, like when I was painting today, I was like, oh, this is so in the middle of it. It's hard. And any creative process, there's this, you love it and then you hate it. And you're like, this is garbage. I need to just throw it away.
Yeah.
And then you like slowly sit with it and you're like, no, I think it works.
Exactly. It's like a reverse bell curve. But I actually have a lot of thoughts on that. So let's keep going with that instead of going to the next thing. But before we do that, I want to just tell you guys about one of our sponsors this week, and that is Brooklinen.
Brooklinen.
You know them. They're incredible. They sent us duvet covers and sheets. They make bedding, and you can get them at brooklinen.com. With our promo code LOVE, they'll give you $20 off. But they're amazing. I mean, I was convinced by even reading, you know, on their website that you spend a third of your life basically in bed. So and so, you know, 8 hours a day. If you live to be 90 years, that means 30 years of your life is in bed. So you might as well make it be comfortable, if you know what
I
mean.
Their sheets are really nice.
Yeah, and I actually really love their story too. I really gravitate towards really good startups and stories. And this one was actually started by a husband and wife team. I love that they did that together. Their philosophy too is, it's beautiful home essentials without the crazy prices. There's no unnecessary markup or fees. And they have over 12,000 five-star reviews. And they've actually been named the winner of the best online bedding category. And so we want to hook you guys up. It's simple. I love and we love Brooklinen sheets. So we have an exclusive offer for the Love That Lasts listeners. If you're listening, and like I said at the beginning, you can get $20 off and free shipping when you use the promo code LOVE at brooklinen.com. And they're so confident that their stuff rocks that they will give you a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all their sheets and comforters.
Wow.
Boom, right? So the only way to get that $20 off and the free shipping is use the promo code LOVE at brooklinen.com. That's brooklinen.com. Promo code LOVE, and they're the best sheets ever. So go check them out. But back to what you were saying, I think the one thing I want to say is, and what you reminded me of, is yes, the finish line is good. And we like take painting or gardening, like, yeah, no, it still is good. And you do want it to look good and, you know, be able to produce better paintings as you go on.
Can I interrupt really quick? I feel like we're having a date night. Like, we're connecting right now. All of this that we're sharing with you guys is fresh.
Yeah, that's true.
We didn't rehearse this. I'm like, wow, this is so good.
Yeah, guys, we actually have a date night tonight, and so I feel like we're just taking all of our talking topics, so we might have to bring some like flashcards tonight and like, you know, with preloaded questions.
Anyway, sorry, what you're saying is so good. I just was like, oh,
that was a good interruption. I love like a date night. No, you're right, and I feel very loved and seen right now. Guys, we need to turn this off. We need to have a moment. a real moment, if you know what I mean. what was I saying? Oh yeah, but I think, but like that finish line per se, like, you know, finally being good at painting, or the finish line of being a really good gardener or being a really good woodworker, that's not the goal or the purpose. That that's not where you pursue, and it's not the purpose and the goal. What you pursue is the craft, and you pursue the process. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, what's funny is God double blesses it. And what I mean by that, the double blessing is if you actually pursue the craft and the process over the production, then that's just the right way to do it, in the sense of it's more filling. Mm-hmm. There's no pressure. There's no anxiety. It's more about the process and just enjoying it and letting it fill you. But there's a double blessing, because that's the first blessing. But the second blessing too is I actually think you get better at things when you do it that way anyways. Mm-hmm. And so then you actually,
there's not as much pressure.
Yeah. And so you actually just get better. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's a double blessing of like going about it for not the finish line usually gives you a better finish line anyways. Mm-hmm. And this isn't saying like exert a lot of energy on it or work really hard. No, like that's great and do that. And I actually think you should, I think it actually frees you up to work even harder, because there's no pressure about failing. Because it's not about the finish line, it's about the process. And when you're freed up to not care about failing, you can actually go harder, because you're not trepid. Is that the right word? Or you're not full of trepidation.
Yeah.
So,
which I feel like everything in me wants to fight that, because I don't know what you call the personality type. I was just the type in school where school was my thing, and I got straight A's, but it was never to necessarily learn it, except for my art classes. I loved that. But everything else, it was just to get the grade. So yeah. At the end of the day, it was all about the end result, yeah. Not so much the process of it. And so I feel like I'm still having to detox that, or like learn a new, I don't know what you call that, grace in my life. Yeah. Of like, oh, it really is all about the process. It's okay. Does that, I don't know what I, even as I'm saying this, everything within me is like, no, like totally. It has to be amazing.
Yeah.
Does that mean, maybe totally. That means I'm a perfectionist, but.
No, totally. And I think, not totally. That's not like, yeah, I see what you're saying. But I think too, yeah, it's just a gentle reminder of everything's for freedom. And so mm-hmm. if you're not free in pursuit of something, then there might be something that needs to be unlocked still. And I think, and that's mm-hmm. what I love about you, because I think you are free in the painting, because you've gotten to that place of just going for it. And you're just like, I don't care what other people think. I don't need to have to sell it, et cetera. Yeah. And back to that Pharaoh, you know, analogy with like production.
So good.
Yeah, we're usually tempted to want to leverage our crafts for production or financial mm-hmm. gain. Now, please hear me say, like, if this is your job, like, I mean, me and Alyssa know this better than anyone. Like, we write books, like we work hard, and that's mm-hmm. our craft, and we sell them and people buy them. So that's not what I'm saying of like, or don't sell stuff for money.
I have so many mom friends who have a side business.
Yeah. I'm just saying when it,
or whatever.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm just saying when it comes to the comparison game of like, oh, this person paints and sells it. Right. I need to paint and sell it. And then that just takes on a whole nother level. Cause then you right. feel like it has to be, you're putting it now into the marketplace of judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I do think like when someone's paying for something, then when someone pays for something, it's no longer about the process in some sense. It's actually more about the product now. Mm-hmm. Like it's a product now, and that's not inherently wrong at all. No. It's just like what we're talking about is I think everyone should have something that is primarily for the filling of themselves and mm-hmm. the like therapeutic nature of themselves, and to meet God in it tactilely, you know, in the process. Mm-hmm. Now you can have a job too that's separate from that you make money, or the thing that I just said can be the thing you make money from. But I just think so everyone should have that one thing.
Just checking your heart while you're doing
totally.
That.
And I just think I think we're not talking about work per se. We're talking about like hobby, craft, like
that fills you up.
Joy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just finding that. And sometimes that totally does overlap with what you make money with. Totally. And that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think if it's specifically the people who that's not where you make money, you should have one of those mm-hmm. things on the side for your heart, for your feeling, for your joy.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't need to be a huge investment. It doesn't need to be, you spend all this money. It's usually the opposite, right? If it's just for fun, then just like doodle or have fun or get some supplies and then do it, and doesn't have to go crazy or let it grow. Like woodworking, I think is a good example where I didn't just buy all these tools the first day I started, where it's probably been 3 years where I'll systematically every couple months, maybe add one other new tool that allows me to build in a little bit more detailed way. And mm-hmm. it's a slow process. Cause it's not, for me, it's not about like trying to be, you know, produce X, Y, and Z right away. But for me, it's about the process. And so I'm going slower, and I just make things for fun, and I learn things. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, but tell people how you felt. How'd you feel after the painting was done? I loved what you said about that like bell curve thing with any artistic creative thing. And that's so true. There's a guy named Austin Kleon, I think. He has a really good book called Steal Like an Artist. And he has a funny graph in there that basically looks like a, you know, like a check mark. It looks like a check mark, and he has all these dots on the check mark that kind of are different points in the creative journey. And it's just a really funny like little comic of like basically that of like, you know, when you start your idea, you're like, this is the best idea ever. And then you start working on it. You're like, and then it goes down a little bit on the check mark. Like, oh, this is kind of, I'm still really excited about this, but it's actually a little bit more than I thought it was going to be. It's like a lot of work. It's hard. Mm-hmm. And then it even goes down farther down to the bottom of the check mark, where once you're actually writing it or painting it or doing it, you're like, this is horrendous. No one wants this. No one cares for this. Why am I even doing this? And then you stick with it a little bit longer and you start to climb back up like, oh, this is halfway decent. And then you get to the finish like, and you're, oh, that was really fulfilling. That was really awesome. And I actually think someone would enjoy this. I'm going to give it to them. Whatever, you know, right. I think that describes the book writing process to a T.
Oh my goodness. The book writing process.
Yeah.
It's brutal.
Well, yeah, it's very much. You definitely, I mean, at this point, we've written enough now. I think, you know, 3 or 4 books, traditional published, you can include the devotionals. I think combined, we've done maybe like, you know, 7 or 8 things, workbooks, books, curriculum, normal books. And so it's at the point now where I almost can guess how I'm going to feel before it happens. And it is funny how robotic we are in that sense of like, whenever I have an idea, I'm jacked. I'm like, oh, this is going to be the best idea ever. I can't wait. It's like, I'm want to write about this for 5 million years and it's just going to bless so many people. And then I can get that usually is about a 3 or 4 month period of brainstorming, thinking, blah, blah, blah. And you get into usually the middle of it and I can guess of just like, this is terrible. Like you start reading what you wrote and you're like, ew.
I know.
Ew. No one wants to read that. No one cares. That's the worst sentence. Yeah. You're like, that's the worst sentence I've ever seen in my life. Mm-hmm. And then again, you keep going with it. And it usually comes back around of like, I'm proud of this. It was hard work.
Write a paragraph or a chapter like, yes. Yeah, and you go back and read it the next day. And then, you know.
Yeah, you go back and read it the next day. And it's like,
oh, the rest is terrible.
No, I agree. So, yeah, but I think, so yeah, how would you encourage people then if they're listening and they feel like they're kind of in your spot that you were a couple months ago with maybe more handicapped by the wanting to feel like you want something to feel. And I think it's cool too, because I do think on a journey, whether it's motherhood or whatever, I think the therapeutic things are really good places for moments of like joy and feeling when it's maybe just like a harder season or like, you know, the kids are, you know, you need a little bit more break from the kids or whatever. I just think it's therapeutic in that sense too, if it really meets you in the pain points or just the harder points or the low season points, but, in a real beautiful way. But yeah, what would you say?
I think I would say if there's something you've been wanting to try for a while, just do it. Like,
just do it.
I mean, I know that
just
sounds
Nike, bro. Nike. Just do it.
If you know somebody that is good at it, ask them to show you how to do it. Pay them. You know, invite them over.
Yeah. That's a good advice. Like, don't be afraid to go. Like, go for it in the sense of do anything that enables you to do it.
Yeah. Or if you're really good at YouTube, like learning from a YouTube video, which is not my thing, but if that's you, then.
Are you complimenting me? Thanks, babe.
Yeah. Spend some time at night watching a YouTube video and just trying it out. And or like finding a friend who's been wanting to do the same thing as you and you guys could do it together. So you encourage each other and push each other. I have a really good friend here. Well, Sarah, who I was talking about, who talked about the mentor thing. She got into painting too. And so we've been like buying our supplies together and encouraging each other because I've just been so nervous. And even now after, you know, an hour after painting my first painting, I just have like knots. It sounds so silly because it's just a painting, but I seriously have knots in my tummy. Like, oh, I really don't know if that was very good, but I did it. And so we've been doing like just encouraging each other with text, you know, sending each other blogs or whatever of other painters and encourage each other. So you can find a friend to do it. A few weeks ago, one of my friends who does watercoloring said, hey, why don't we get together for lunch and I'll just teach you how to do it with another girlfriend. So we did that, like just finding other people to encourage you or taking a class or if you wanted to learn how to sew a quilt, finding an older woman who does quilts and just asking if she can, you know, you can come over and learn from her. Finding those things, just making time for it. And even in the midst of your busyness and if you're a young mom or in school, whatever it may be, we all have time. Maybe your time is a lot more limited, but there's some fringe hours that you could do it. And maybe it's not an everyday thing. Maybe it's once a month. Or, you know, after the kids go to bed at night or asking somebody to babysit your kids once every 2 weeks or whatever. So you can have a couple hours to learn this new skill you want to do. And so I think just, or if there's a skill that you love, you just haven't made time for it in a while, learning what you can do to do it. Just because it, if it does give you life and it, you know, if you can meet with Jesus through it or just feel more filled up so you can pour out your life in all the areas you do, it's so good. Or if it's, yeah, so.
No, that's so good. Yeah. I love that. And so take that to heart, you guys. Hopefully that encourages you. The next little segment for the next few minutes, I want to talk about what we're reading, because I think we're reading some fun stuff lately that is really fun to talk about. But I want to talk about ZipRecruiter, our other sponsor for this week. And if you're hiring, you know that posting your position to job sites and waiting for the right people to see it is tough and difficult. But the cool part is ZipRecruiter knew that there was a smarter way. So they built a platform that finds the right job candidates for you, and they actually learn what you're looking for. They identify people with the right experience, and they invite them to apply to your job, which is awesome. So if you're a business owner, entrepreneur, this is great. And these invitations have actually revolutionized how you find your next hire. In fact, they've shown that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just 24 hours, which is crazy. And they don't stop there. They even spotlight the strongest applications you receive, so you never receive or miss a great match. And the right candidates are out there, and ZipRecruiter shows you how to find them. So businesses of all sizes trust ZipRecruiter for their hiring needs. And right now, you guys, Love That Last listeners, can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, for free. So just go to ZipRecruiter.com/lass. That's ZipRecruiter.com/lass, L-A-S-T-S, to try it out for free. And they're the smartest way to hire. So I want to talk about and transition to what we've been reading, and we'll kind of close this episode out. I always love talking about books we're reading and how we're doing and what we're thinking. And so you got any nugs?
Will you tell me? I don't even know what book you've been reading this week.
I feel like
Jeff
I've been
reads like four a week.
No. I try to do like two a week, but I think, I'm actually in the middle of like four or five. So I feel like I haven't completed two this week, cause I'm like in the, you know, probably take me basically 2 weeks or 3 weeks to do those five or six, but bunch of different books I'm reading right now. The one I'm really enjoying, you guys, is it's called, what's it called? I think Desiring God's Will by, what's the guy's name? Like Bannon or Brannon. It's really good.
Benner.
Oh yeah, you're right. I think it's like David Benner. Mm-hmm. But it's amazing. He has this series of these three little books. They're each like 90 pages, 100 pages. Alyssa loves them too. And
all Christians should have these books.
Yeah, they're very, very good pastoral, heart-to-heart, like changing books. Mm-hmm. But this God's Will one is awesome, because I think a lot of times the God's Will conversation takes on this like, here's God's will, here's how to find it, and then try harder and then kind of exert yourself and exert your own will to get there. But what I love about this one is it's just so about the heart of God and the heart of Jesus and trying to pursue and understand God's heart and his power of love, that then when you surrender to that, then you're in his will. Like when you surrender to his love, you are in the best place and in the place of joy and flourishing because you're in his will. And he had this little nugget I loved where he talked about the difference between will. I've told Lisa this, the difference between willingness and willfulness, mm-hmm. and how a lot of times willfulness is how we try to seek God's will, yeah. where it's just exertion and trying harder. And if you can just have, you know, enough energy, then you'll find God's will. Mm-hmm. When truly being in God's will is about willingness. Mm-hmm. And I just love that distinction of willingness is more about surrender. It's more about, that prayer of, you know, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, not my will, but your will be done. And there's a surrender, there's a willingness to understanding that God is a force of nature in the sense of, metaphorically speaking, just like that cultural phrase of God is this, he is his own entity, he is his own person, and he has power. And so he's moving, he has momentum, he has ideas, he has plans. And are we willing to just step in line with that? It doesn't take a ton of exertion and a ton of energy. It's more just about being willing and able and ready. And if you notice the life of Jesus, right, like if he would have been all super type A about like, oh, God's, this is God's will for me, and I'm just going to blow past everyone trying to talk to me, then he would have missed 90% of what the gospel stories. 90% of the gospel stories are he's going somewhere and some guy bothers him, essentially, and Jesus is open or willing to that moment and then creates an entire God moment in that moment. And so I just really, really love that distinction. But
it's so good.
Yeah, what would you say? What
okay, well, that's really funny because the book I'm reading right now is Benner's other book.
Surrender
to Love.
Yeah.
So Jeff and I both, we talked about on a podcast a while ago. What was the first one? Your true self, or what's it called?
I think it's called The Gift of Being Yourself.
The Gift of Being Yourself, right? Which is every person needs to read it. It's amazing. Preach. So Binner has these three books, and they're little. And I've been doing them as my devotion. So I'll read like two pages or half of a chapter each morning with my Bible and journal it out. But I love that you talked about that, because the book I'm reading is Surrender to Love, and just how like we're called to live a life of surrender. But yes. If you don't really know the Lord and how much he loves you, then, you know, surrender can be a really hard thing. And so it's really learning the Lord and this great love that he has for us. And the first chapter was talking about, you know, when you, if you were to ask yourself, what does God think of me when he thinks of me? Mm. Like, what does he think? And you could answer that. Maybe it's, you know, like,
it's a crazy question, actually. Yeah.
It's a crazy question. Maybe after this podcast, ask yourself that. And you could, for me, I was like, Lord, I know you love me. I know that you delight in me. Yeah. I know you sing over me. Where a lot of people, or in my past, I wouldn't have said that. I could have said he's disappointed with me, or I feel like I need to like win your approval, or I'm missing the mark, or whatever it is. But the Lord has really done a big work in my heart. And I know he loves me and delights in me. But he continued to talk about how, you know, the creation story, when God created us, I always knew that like we're made to worship, and we're worshipers, and we're made to serve the Lord. God calls us to serve him. But in the book, it was saying that the number one reason why God created us was for friendship.
Mm-hmm.
He made us different from every other creation, with the ability to talk with him and be intimate with him and to like have this friendship with him, which blows my mind. And I'd never heard of that before. Yeah. And how creation is like this poetry book or like story, which I've heard, but just how God created us for friendship and he wants to be intimate with us. And then how sin, it wasn't just like doing the opposite of what God wants or whatever, but it was us wanting, in the creation story, it was us wanting freedom. Yeah. And so we decided to be independent and self-autonomous. Is that autonomous?
Or seek self-autonomy. Or yeah, no, yeah, you're right. Yes, no, self-autonomous, yeah.
Okay. And so we, you know, we chose to do the things that we do. And in our life, when we sin, if you think about it, this was just mind-blowing to me. Every time we sin, we think that that will bring freedom. Like, you know, for instance, I had an eating disorder for years, and I thought, oh, well, this eating disorder, it means I'm like seeking freedom because I have control over my life. Like I don't have to surrender. This is a place where I can control, when really it was leading to so much bondage in my life. In any area of sin, we think that it's, you know, we're independent and we're seeking freedom, but really it brings us into addictions or bondage, all these things. And it was just mind blowing. Anyway, those are two separate kind of thoughts. But just in those first like three pages, it was just so good. And it just kind of changed it for me in a way that I would explain the gospel and explain sin and explain the Lord's heart, that we have to start at first that God created us to be friends. He wants to be intimate with us. And then why sin happened. And when we sin, this is why we do it. And it isn't fulfilling. It doesn't bring what it promises. And, anyway, it was just so, so good. So I'm out at the very beginning, but these three books by Binner, if you don't have them, pick them up. They are so good.
Well, it's funny that we both,
that we're both reading them.
Yeah, it's funny. And so, let us know on Twitter or Instagram if you've read them too. We'd love to hear from you.
And we can do like a swipe up on our Instagram or something.
Yeah, they're amazing. And I love what Alyssa shared, because that is a part that is just so profound in his other book, which I would say the one she's reading is probably his most famous and the one I heard about.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's the one that like I heard about it. And then I got the rest of the series. And from me posting about it, I could tell that one's definitely the most popular, the Gift of Being Yourself. So.
Oh, yeah. But the one I'm reading is Surrender to Love.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. But you mentioned.
Well, I mentioned just the other one.
Yeah.
Every Christian should have the gift of being yourself.
Guys, just get all three.
Yeah.
Just get all three.
But the one I was reading was Surrender to Love.
Yeah, exactly.
And just reading about God's will.
Yes.
Anyway.
Hey, guys, I wanted to take a quick break out of this week's episode and let you know about one of our favorite sponsors, and that is Casper. That's this week's sponsor. If you don't know Casper, they're a sleep brand that makes expertly designed products to help you get a better rest one night at a time. And I absolutely love them. I've experienced their products. They're cleverly designed to mimic human curves. And so they provide support and comfort for all types of body. And like they even say, you spend 1/3 of your life sleeping, so it should be comfortable. And my favorite part is doing your research, you actually will realize that with over 20,000 reviews, they have an average of 4.8 stars across Casper, Amazon, and Google. So clearly, people absolutely love them. They have a couple different options, the Wave and the Essential mattress. And on top of that, it's delivered right to your door in a small, how did they do that size box with free shipping and returns in US and Canada. So I want to hook you guys up. If you go to Casper, Casper.com/Jeff and Alyssa, and you use the promo code Jeff and Alyssa, you will get $50 towards select mattresses. And so again, to get $50 towards select mattresses, visit Casper.com/Jeff and Alyssa and use the promo code Jeff and Alyssa. And you can be sure of your purchase because Casper has a 100-night risk-free sleep on it trial. And it's incredible. And I love them. So make sure to check them out. And back to our show. Well, guys, so that's pretty much all we got for this week. I mean, what?
Nothing.
That's all we got, though. Can I just say, you guys, I feel so blessed and loved that you guys listen to this so that it enables me.
You pretty much were just on a date with us.
Yeah, you guys just came on a date with us. And now I need to go Google 100 questions to ask your spouse so that I can write them down on note cards to take with our actual date night tonight. No, hit us up on the hashtag Jeff and Alyssa. We love you guys so much. We're so thankful for being able to be in conversation with you. And we love that you guys, that we get to process out loud. And hopefully it encourages you guys and blesses you guys as well. So, yeah, that's all we got. Have a good rest of the week.